agradecemos por escuchar algo en Zenón, en VNR Magazine Radio. De tantas estaciones, podcasts, etcétera, dijiste, vamos a escuchar al buen Zenón. Muchas gracias. Disfruta por las mejores estaciones, VNR Magazine Radio. Con el buen Zenón, lo hacemos por y para ti. Radio. De tantas estaciones, podcasts, etcétera, dijiste, vamos a escuchar al buen Zenón. Muchas gracias. Disfruta por las mejores estaciones, VNR Magazine Radio. Con el buen Zenón, lo hacemos por y para ti.
el alma, inocencia carnal. Acaricia todo el cuerpo y lo hace sangrar. Sacrifica tus órganos.
So let me just... So got it. So thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much for being here. As you know, I'm the good old Zenon, okay, broadcasting for Broken Neck Radio. Okay, so in Canada, and also I'm we're broadcasting from Mexico City, and
yeah, baby,
Mexico City, Canada. Okay, so and we're broadcasting from from Radio UTA, RadioUTA.com, and Broken Neck Radio. And this time, okay, so I'm really, really happy because I was listening to the band. I was watching the videos and everything. And I was, and I asked Courting Cool Records. I said, hey, you know what? I would really like to have these guys on the show. They are really good. The music is really good. I was reading your story and it was like really, really exciting. It was like, no, I really need to know what they are about.
Dude, you're on my Christmas list. No, that's awesome.
Nah, thank you very much, guys. But anyways, what about what is the name of the band we're presenting today?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Tim.
Abandon's End.
Abandon's. Is it Abandon's? Abaddon's?
It's Abaddon's End.
Yeah. Abaddon's End. Yeah, that was like, yeah, in fact, first of all, when I... Well, that is very interesting. What about the name? Why the name? Because I think that a Abaddon is like a devil, like something evil. Okay, so why the name Abaddon? Mm-hmm.
Steve, go ahead on that one.
All right. Well, it depends on who you're talking to, whether the band or the name is evil, or in some of the Bibles, and the Abaddon is angel of God, who is was chosen to deliver God's wrath on the human race. And so, you know, it depends on how you feel about religion, you know, the Bible and that. But at the end, you know, we're all going to be judged and Abaddon's going to be there to enforce it.
Well, that is really good. Well, I don't know, but I remember that, for example, in the 80s, when you had these names like evil and everything. Okay, so, you had a lot of issues, for example, in your presentations. I don't know if times are different right now or if everything has changed. Okay, so, have you seen some difference? Haven't you had any issues, for example, when you're having a show because of the name?
No, not at all.
No. We're not a religious band. Some of us are Christians, but we're not a religious band.
We just
like the story was really good that the name came from.
Right.
Well, yeah, that is excellent. Okay, well, and I was reading something about you guys, and I see that, well, okay, some of you have been together for more than 20 years, more than 25 years, right?
Yep.
That would be Kyle and Steve.
Kyle and Steve, okay, so, can you tell us something about all this story that you have? I mean, being together for 25 years, it's like, I mean, I suppose that you have like a lot of story to tell us, right?
Huh? Yeah, we got
one. Yeah, but I don't want my family to hear it. Well, there's a lot of stuff you could talk about.
Well, go ahead, buddy.
Kyle and me, like you said, we've been together over 25 years, almost 30. Traveled to, did a lot of different bands together. We were with one band for about 12 or 13 years, and that was we had some record deals asked, you know, given, offered to us that we couldn't take at the time. You know, it's been a long road, and me and Kyle had known years ago that someday we'd line up with a couple other guys that would finally fit us to the point that we could go where we wanted to go. And now we finally have got them. Tim and Adam are a great, great asset. This band wouldn't be Abaddon's End without them.
And we got Cole. He just joined us, the keyboardist. So he's phenomenal. Can't wait.
Yeah, that is it.
What's that?
Yeah, and I can see, for example, that you have been opening for a lot of bands like Jackal, for example, Dr. Hook, for example, Bad Finger, Candlebox, okay, Nazareth. I mean, those were great, great bands. Okay, do you have like some stories that you would like to share? I mean, opening for those bands or learning, for example, from those bands.
Well, you remember the band Nazareth, right?
Yes, I did.
we were doing an opener for them, and there's their at the club we were at, the owners was sending a limo to get them. It didn't go get them. So me and Kyle took our I took my personal 4x4 pickup that was lifted, and Kyle had a little car with lights that stuck up in the air. They were stuck. And we went to the hotel and picked them up. Well, I was drunk in my truck driving three of the guys from Nazareth. And they were like, "You're not going to go out in the woods, are you, and drive around?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, here we go." Anyway, they were like, "We're not really driving in these things," but they had a good time with us. And let's see, the other story, Candlebox, the bass player at Candlebox, and me, we hit it off real well. And he followed me around a whole night. And when we did our set, he stood behind my amp the whole time making fun of me.
Yeah. Well, tell him why he did that, Steve.
Because I told him his hair, he needed to look in the mirror at his hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I was standing there talking to the bass player, and Steve was in a funk about something. I don't know what it was. But standing there talking, shooting shit with the Candlebox bass player, and the Candlebox bass player says to Steve, "Nice hair." And Steve turns around and goes, "Do you look in the mirror lately?" And I'm like, no, don't do that. And then he goes, "What?" I said, "That's the bass player for Candlebox, dude." He's like, "Oh, shit." So the rest of the night, he threw firecrackers underneath Steve while he's on stage. There's a bunch of stuff he did.
And that is what we like to know, for example, a lot of stories, because, for example, okay, so we have had some interviews with a lot of bands, for example, okay, I can see here that you have played with Hell Yeah, right?
Yeah, Tim.
Go ahead. Tim did. I did. Yeah, we opened up for Hell Yeah, Nonpoint at the Sylvia in Madison, Wisconsin. So that was very huge, and we were actually the first local band to do that. And it was just amazing, great group guys. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, and those stories, for example, the other day I was interviewing somebody, the name of the band was Messer, for example, and they were playing, they were opening for Pantera, for example, I mean, when they were beginning, like when they were totally
blind. Wow.
So, wow. Like, for example, now all these stories, okay, so we, because, for example, you can hear stories from famous bands, and I don't know, but sometimes, for example, like a Battlescent, I can see that you have a lot of history, and there's a lot of history that maybe in 10 more years or 20 more years, okay, so we're going to go back to this interview and we'll say, hey, remember, these guys were opening for Hell Yeah, we're opening for Candlebox, they have stories with all these bands, and those are the ones that, yeah, we like to share for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, a lot of bands. So so you were playing with a lot of bands together, and then what happened? Why did you decide to come up with a new name after playing with some other bands? What happened with the other bands? Or I can see here the names of the bands, but what about if you tell us something about them?
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, there for some years we were with a band. Me and Kyle were with a band called Shaman Spell back in the day. And, you know, we went through years with that. Like I said, we had offers on the table, record contracts, at which we turned down at that time.
Million-dollar contract deals,
too. Million-dollar contracts, saying goodbye. But anyway, through life and stuff, I decided to take a little time to myself and figure out, with two marriages, that is. And then just in the last 6 years, I moved back to the area, and Kyle called me one night when he found out I was coming home. He said, "Well, you want to try it one more time, Steve?" And I said, "Hell yeah." So here we go again. And so we started looking for a vocalist and a guitarist, which we found more than a few. And we've got stories about vocalists, but anyway, we'll go into that another time. But it was a hard 5 years to find somebody that fit me and Kyle and the music we were looking to do. And then we ran into Tim's band, did an opener for us at a show in Milwaukee. And I met Tim, and I'm like, this guy's a good guy, and he's a hell of a guitarist. And I kept him in the back of our minds. So lo and behold, down the road, we needed a guitarist. I got a hold of Tim and offered him if he wanted to think about joining us. And he did.
I said, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You're damn right I would.
And then we had auditions. Me, Tim, and Kyle had auditions. yeah. For vocalists. And you wouldn't believe how many vocalists have cried in front of us, but they have. But then Adam came in, walked in with a notepad like Tim wanted to see, and we gave him a song that we had barely even written, and he went outside to his car and wrote lyrics to it, came back in and sang the damn song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we said, well, you're the one.
Excellent. So that was the beginning of a bad on set, right? Okay, but you were telling me that, well, you have a lot of stories about singers, about this vocalist. Say, what happened? Why didn't you like him, or they didn't like you? Okay, so what happened? What was the beginning of a bad on
set? Well, we sat him down for each vocalist that came in, and then we played a couple songs, and their mouth dropped, and then they got up to the mic and just froze. I don't know what to sing to that, or, wow, I didn't realize you guys were that well sounding good and stuff. And they just kind of broke down as I put their heads between their legs and left. So now I said to the guys, I said, the first guy that comes in there with a notebook and a pen, he's going to be the one. And it was Adam that came through that door. But the other guys.
He tracked me down because I am sponsored by Collision Drumsticks in England. And I have a commercial out there. So he grabbed a hold of that commercial. He followed that all the way up and then asked me if he could audition, you know, in an email he found on that commercial. And I said, yes. I put a time down. I said, I wasn't going to babysit him. This time we'll fit you in. Come in, do your stuff. We'll let you know the results later. And he showed up on time, didn't he, guys? And he actually wrote a song. So...
I wrote a song right there. I went out the car, wrote the song, came back in, sang the song with them, recorded another song. I rode their ass for the next week. It pretty much wouldn't let them say no. I came in the next week, sang a second song with them. They went outside, had a meeting, came back in and said, we called off the rest of the vocalists you're in. So
that is excellent. Oh, okay, and that was when was that? I mean, for example, okay, Battle Sense has been together for how many years?
For when I joined, it was December of 2022, December 17th, actually.
So the group we have now has been together for about a year.
Our first show was April 1st last year. So we've only been playing out for not even a year yet. We've been opening for bands like The Lonely One, The Violent. We're going to be opening for Saul. We're going to be opening for The Black Moods here pretty soon. So we play as much as we can, wherever we can. Anywhere. We don't care if we're opening. We don't care if we're headlining. We don't care if there's going to be 10 people there. We don't care if there's going to be 100 people there or 1,000 people there. We're going to play and we're going to give our best and we're going to come out there and try to draw some jaws.
Now, that's a lead vocalist right there, boys.
Okay. Well, that is excellent. Okay. Well, but for example, okay, so you guys are all together in the same area. Are you in Wisconsin, for example, or where are you from?
Yes. We're all in Wisconsin. Yes. We're the furthest away is Cole, which he's probably 3 hours out. Cole, is Cole even on?
Okay. Yeah, I had my mic muted. Yeah, I'm about 2.5-3 hours north.
Yeah,
so yeah, we're all pretty close to the same area, like proximity wise, I guess you could say. So
yeah, Adam's about hour.
Yeah,
I'm about an hour away from the jam spot. So yeah.
And was that important? Because, for example, okay, so nowadays I have seen that, for example, a lot of people are taking musicians from different countries, for example, or, for example, from different cities and that. And, for example, what about a battle? And they decided that, well, or you decided that you wanted to have people that were close to you, or how was that going to work the first time that you came up with the band?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on out there right now where, you know, people could do it through the line, you know, media type stuff. And you just don't get that feel. At least I don't, you know. I'd rather have them close and have a really good practice. Now, when we practice, it's for 8 hours or 10 hours at a crack. So, I mean, it's intense. I like that better. I think you can write better that way. Through the internet, it's a little harder, you know.
Yeah, but it's very important that everybody shows up to practice.
Yeah,
because if you got somebody from a different area, or it's, oh, I can't make it, or, you know, it's late because they're so far away. That's one of the reasons why we kind of kept it kind of close and in our area, is that we can count on every single member of the band to be there and be at practice.
And there, you know, and a lot of times a good song is written on the spot by mistake. And yeah. You wouldn't have that mistake unless you're together, you know?
Yeah, I've set up a video camera to record all of our practices. And we've had times where we're all done practicing. All of a sudden, Tim and Kyle go into this jam session. And Steve starts joining in. I start singing syllables or whatever to it. And I'll rip it off the video and send it through for the next week. We're listening to it. And 3 days after we've written that, I brought lyrics to it and we played it live. So
we pushed ourselves pretty hard. We'll write a song and then we got a show in 2 weeks. So let's just play it.
Well, yeah, that is excellent. That is excellent. And I totally agree with you. I mean, that is like the old way to do it. And yeah, I've seen a lot of bands that are doing things in a different way. But what about if we know a little bit more about the band on sense? What about if every member introduces himself and tell us a little bit about him, about the story? Okay, so some of the things they like. Of course, your information is on the website, right? But sometimes I would like to know a little bit more about you. I suppose there are some things that you would like to share with everybody.
All right. Well, I was a choir nerd growing up. I got into metal when I was about 10, 11 years old. Linkin Park and Slipknot opened the doors for me. Then it went into vocalists like Maynard James Keenan and Chino from Deftones. And it just grew from there. I ended up getting into really, really heavy stuff like Whitechapel, All Shall Perish, Norma Jean, As I Lay Dying. Nowadays, I'm really into Bad Omen, Sleep Token, Spirit Box. And I did music all the way through high school. I moved to Omaha, Nebraska. I started working with a producer, a hip-hop producer. And we made like 3 or 4 songs. We were just messing around at the time. Well, he knew a lot of people like Houston Alexander, or like Plain White Tees, like Muse, like all those people who are from the Midwest. Well, one day I'm at work and I'm literally work right across the street from his apartment, and I get a phone call and he goes, "Hey, Sid Wilson from Slipknot's here listening to your song and he wants to be on it." I told my GM at the time, he goes, "Leave, I'm taking your shift." So I actually went for a whole day, hung out with Sid, wrote some music with him.
Te agradecemos por escuchar algo en Zenón. En VNR Magazine Radio. De tantas estaciones, podcasts, etc., dijiste: vamos a escuchar al buen Zenón. Muchas gracias. Disfruta por las mejores estaciones VNR Magazine Radio. Con el buen Zenón, lo hacemos por y para ti.
You want a party, baby? We'll be right back.
escuchar al buen Zenón, envía a NAR Magazine Radio. De tantas estaciones, podcasts, etcétera, dijiste, vamos a escuchar al buen Zenón. Muchas gracias. Disfruta por las mejores estaciones y en NAR Magazine Radio. Con el buen Zenón, lo hacemos por y para ti.
Acaricia todo el cuerpo y lo hace sangrar.
High school, I moved to Omaha, Nebraska. I started working with a producer, a hip-hop producer. And we made like three or four songs. We were just messing around at the time. Well, he knew a lot of people like Houston Alexander, or like Plain White Tees, like Muse, like all those people who are from the Midwest. Well, one day I'm at work and I'm literally work right across the street from his apartment and I get a phone call and he goes, hey, Sid Wilson from Slipknot's here listening to your song and he wants to be on it. I told my GM at the time, he goes, leave, I'm taking your shift. So I actually went for a whole day, hung out with Sid, wrote some music with him. We went to his studio and he was on Be Real TV one night, and I never knew I was a huge Slipknot fan. I pretty much bit my nails till I bled all the way there. And never called on a Slipknot fan. Just, you know, be a normal person around people who have status, because it's, they just want to be normal people. So I'm in there and I walk in, there's platinum records everywhere. I'm like, wow, this is surreal. This is really, really cool. I ended up doing a show one time, and he worked with a fellow hip-hop artist called Jamaz. And Sid actually snuck out of his house. His manager didn't want him to sneak out, and he snuck out and drove down to Omaha and watched me and Jamaz put on a show. And that was kind of surreal when he came up and bumped me in the elbow. He goes, hey, what's up, Bach? I was like, oh, cool. So I have a real connection with him. And then I helped Houston Alexander. The producer was helping him do turntables and stuff. I helped him set up some stuff. So I had some music background in that. Well, living in Nebraska and me being a Wisconsin boy, it was not – I started to miss going out fishing and doing going out to the woods and stuff. So I moved back home. I hadn't done music in 10 years. I wanted to get back into music, but I didn't want to do this whole, yeah, let's write a few songs, now we're not doing anything, all this back and forth. So then I seen this post with a bad band looking for a vocalist ready to take it to the next level. I said, okay, I'm showing up. And the rest is history. Here we are.
That is excellent. And for example, okay, so you were mentioning all these metal bands, but I can see that, I don't know, for example, the videos that I have seen, your voice is really clean, really melodic, right?
Yep. Yeah, and then when I do scream, I like to do the pitch scream like Sam Carter from Architects, from like Ollie Sykes from Suicide Season. Actually, I seen Bring Me the Horizon came to a small venue. There was only 100 people. They did a surprise show. It's only 100 people on this small stage. He's saying Ollie Sykes was doing Suicide Season from the album Suicide Season. That was my favorite song. And I'm sitting there screaming in the crowd. Oliver Sykes comes up in my face, screams, goes back to the other side, comes back, gives me the microphone, and let me finish the song with him. And I was like, oh, that was a really, really cool moment. So, yeah, and I love the content of the metal vocals. I love that. I love to sing. I wish I could do more screaming sometimes, but I love the connection of being able to sing and all everybody can hear that. But I love that I can deliver when it's time, when it gets down and dirty and we get into that those drops. I love that I can execute those screams when I need to.
Well, as I can say, your clarity on your voice when you sing that clean stuff is unbelievable, dude.
Yes.
You'll make me blush.
Yeah, it's like this is so tender. Oh, that is excellent. That is excellent. And we really like, for example, all these stories about, for example, I suppose that there are a lot of stories that I don't know, you have not shared with the people, right? And that would be like really, really interesting, for example. Okay, and what else what can you tell us? Okay, for example, we're talking about the singer, but who else is in the band, for example?
Tim, the guitar player, what's up? I was born and raised in Milwaukee. I grew up my father was a bluegrass guitar player. So I was born and raised with listening to bluegrass and all that. And then when I started going to high school, the metal scene was just happening big time in the 80s. Metal Church, all those guys, Sabotage, Iron Maiden. And you know what? I really like this stuff. But my roots is bluegrass. I love playing the acoustic. And as I gone on, get older, I started listening and playing and just more playing the guitar, the electric guitar, and started realizing and start playing my life story and just coming up with riffs and stuff like that. So yeah, I just love coming up with riffs. Michael Jackson is one of my favorite artists to listen to. His grooves and all that. I just get most of that stuff from there and go on from there.
Yeah, that is excellent. And for example, Lucky, so are you planning to do something, I mean, acoustically, for example, in this band?
Oh, my God, yes. We have quite a bit of acoustic stuff, but we're waiting for the right moment right now. We are really on a backlog for writing right now because we have so many shows. We have a lot of stuff to record. We have a lot of acoustic stuff we want to do. It'll start coming out. It's going to take a little time. Yeah. We're really busy right now, but yeah, it's going to be amazing, the acoustic stuff.
About four or five of the songs that we actually play live, Tim sent to me acoustic version, and I wrote the lyrics to it, and then we converted it over after we had written a structure for it.
And that's the kind of weird thing is I never did that before with a band, so I'll write something on acoustic, send it to Adam, he'll come up with the lyrics, and then go to practice and have the other boys jump in, and then we'll write it right there.
Well, that is excellent. But for example, okay, so well, do you think that we're going to have something totally acoustic from a band on sand? Like, for example, I don't know, Lies from Guns N' Roses, okay, so or Tesla. I mean, I don't know.
Huh? Oh, yeah, we got one in the works right now.
Yep. We're working on Internal Flame, ain't it?
Yeah, Internal Flame.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, we do have a song that Tim and I have completely structured out. I got all the lyrics written for it. We just got to sit down and figure out, because we'd like to do it where, you know, like the first half to the first three quarters of it will be all acoustic, and then the band joins back in so we can put it into a live atmosphere, and that we put it like in a halfway in the middle of a set, you know, and then the rest of the band can join in, and then we can just keep on rolling with the rest of the live set.
Oh, that is going to be awesome. I really love, I mean, I remember, for example, there was a time, for example, in the 80s when a lot of bands used to do that, oh, right? Man. I mean, but they are not doing it anymore. Okay, and what about the rest of the band? Because, for example, now you got a new keyboard player. That's excellent. That is awesome. Okay, so why a keyboard player, for example?
Huh? Go ahead.
I'll explain that.
All right.
You know, with the three-piece, we do sound full, right? But there's so many more, it unlocks more musical taste in a song when you got a keyboard in there. You could do so much more. And I think with this acoustic stuff and the beginnings of some of the songs we got.
Exactly, yep. I hear the piano in the beginning, like acoustic behind it. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Cole, talk a little bit, buddy. You're new.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm gonna give my little pitch here too, I guess. Hey, I'm Cole. So,
hey, Cole.
What's up, Cole?
So starting out with music, I guess I don't have quite as interesting of a story as the other guys. I was really the first, you know, somewhat musical person in my family, first to play, really. But you know, growing up, my dad had a big collection of vinyls, so I grew up on all the old classics, like, you know, Deep Purple, Pink Floyd, The Doors, all that kind of stuff. I grew up listening to that. He's a big Alice Cooper fan, so, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then when I got a little bit older, and I remember this is kind of like how I started, I guess, playing, was we went to my cousin's house, and they had a piano, and, you know, we were just hanging out with them for a few days, and like I just kept going back to it and just kind of plinking on it. I was just goofing around, and then my mom was like, "Oh, you know, he seems interested in that piano." So I guess she took that as he's gonna play. So we went and she got a piano and she signed me up for, you know, classical old style lessons. You know, it's like the classical stuff and piano recitals, things like that. Probably fifth or sixth grade, probably started taking lessons, and then, you know, eventually started doing, like I said, different recitals and things. Playing like solo and ensemble, which is like a local thing that they do for just like young musicians. This is kind of like a statewide kind of competition thing. But then the traditional like lesson style is really kind of like strict and very meticulous. I never really, I guess, appreciated the keyboard as an instrument until I got a little bit older. But then, you know, middle school, I just started playing the Guitar Hero games when those started coming out. I was like, yeah, this is really cool. So I started teaching myself how to play the bass a little bit, just because, you know, I thought that was like a cool, be a rock star kind of thing. And, you know, going into high school, I played in just a couple, you know, smaller bands, little ones that didn't really take off, and then a couple like cover bands, you know, did everything from some hard rock and metal kind of stuff up to like, you know, more like indie and alternative. So kind of like Tame Impala and like MGMT kind of style stuff, you know, just kind of experimenting a bit. And then the last band I played in, played bass in, it was a metal band out of a town just north of where I live here. I was playing the bass with those guys, but that project kind of fell apart. Guitar player ended up moving away, and yeah, just got busy with school and everything. And I went to school for web development, and there's not quite a job market up here for that. So I ended up moving down to Texas for a few years, just kind of focusing on my career a bit. And then eventually ended up coming back after, you know, COVID kind of became a thing. We all kind of went remote, and I just thought, you know, I might as well go back where I have family and stuff. But I just kind of stopped playing music for a while. And then it wasn't up until probably a few months ago, I just kind of got the bug a little bit again. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to start playing music again. So I just, you know, started playing keyboard again. And then I found a group of guys here that run an improv night for blues players. It's kind of a cool little setup. They have all the backline instruments and stuff, and you can sign up and just come and jam and improvise. And they had a Hammond V3 organ. Didn't realize really what it was at the time, but it's kind of cool. So I got to play with a group of guys again, and I got that little bit of that taste of, you know, playing with other people, playing out in front of people again. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. So hopped on Facebook, just kind of started looking in groups, not for really anything for anything super serious. It's just kind of like, hey, you know, look for people to jam with. And then a guy from a band up here named Fist Piston, I think the guy's name was Corey, I forget. He DM'd me and he said, hey, you know, there's this band and, you know, they're really good and they're looking for a keyboard player. And I was kind of like, you know, keyboard in a hard rock kind of metal style band, like, it's interesting. like, whatever, you know, I'll give it a shot, you know, and I'll play with it. And then, I came down and I played with these guys. It was kind of like a little bit of a, kind of, I guess, maybe like a similar thing, like you're saying, like with the singers, but I didn't really get, I guess, kind of scared away as much as kind of like, holy crap, these guys are tight. Like, these guys are really good. So, you know, I came down and played a little bit, and I guess it ended up working out, and I just thought it was cool, like a creative challenge. So, you know, playing with new sounds and stuff and just kind of seeing where it goes from there. It's just, I'm really excited for the prospects of where everything's going to go. And I think we have some really good material, and, we're trying to think where to go from there. It's really like it's really interesting opportunity, and I'm excited. So,
yeah, now we're really excited. We're really excited to listen to you. But tell us something about where can we find you, or what do you recommend? Are there videos of the band? How many CDs, for example? I suppose that there's, well, I've seen some videos, but for example, where can we get your material? Are there CDs? What about where can we buy it?
Right now, we got merch all over on our abandonzen.com. You can find that through our Facebook page as well. We are going to be going. We just had a barbecue for our family and close fans, and they got to vote on the next song, next single we were going to do. So we just got that last week. So we're going to be going in the studio, recording another single. Then we'll have a 3-song EP coming out, hopefully by midsummer. So that will be available for everybody. Another thing I wanted to add with Cole was we're excited to have Cole with as a keyboardist, because we've been watching a lot of bands with the backtracking. And there's nothing wrong with backtracking, but we love that now we're going to be able to kind of have that sound in the background, but it'll be a completely live feeling. We're not tied to, oh, we got to be on time. We can all play off each other and keep going. So that's really cool to have Cole on keys for that too.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. But this EP, for example, that you're going to release, is that going to be the first one, or we can find something else?
That'll be the first as this group. This group is there's some music out there from the old style, but this group that we have is a whole new sound. It's a whole new style. We actually had a couple difficulties when we first started getting some shows because people heard how heavy it used to be. And they didn't realize how different we are. You know, I do singing and stuff now, and the old stuff was all pretty much screaming and growling. And so sometimes that's a barrier we got to break down to go, no, we've changed styles. We're doing different stuff now. So,
yeah, you can find the music on Apple Music, Spotify. If you go there, you can listen to it.
Go to
a couple of videos on YouTube. You can go to check it out.
We have TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff.
Yep.
Okay, that is excellent. Some videos, for example, some videos that you recommend that we watch, for example, from A Bad on Sand, hey, you gotta watch, you gotta listen to this song, you gotta watch this video, you gotta, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of material, but for example, there's a new single that you're releasing, right? For example, right now.
Yeah. We're gonna be going to the studio to record a new single. And actually, I'll give a name drop on you. The new single we're gonna be recording is called The Harlot, and you can find that live on YouTube right now.
What's that mean, Adam?
The Harlot is all about a dirty girl.
Oh well, yeah. Well, I don't know anything about him, but
yeah, I never had that experience, have you?
Yeah, no. I don't know what you're talking about, but right. No, guys, but really, really, it's a pleasure. It has really been a pleasure of having you. I don't know if there's something that you would like to so we're in Mexico City right now, so I don't know if there's something that you would like to tell to the people from Mexico City so that we go and look for your music. When are you coming? Are you planning to come to Mexico, for example, soon? Or
we're about traveling, so we're getting our wings right now. We will be down there. We are trying to get across to Germany. We're talking to the record label. They're working. They're going to stick us with a band that's already over there. So there's a lot in the works right now. Like I said, our schedule just blew up. We got a RV now. We call it our bus. We're going to be traveling around in that, different states, just making the circle huger, huger, huger. And as we do that, we see our numbers grow and grow and grow. They wouldn't probably grow if we had crappy music. So I'm hoping that they're digging our music. So. Hopefully,
yeah, I look forward to going to Mexico City. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Let's go, guys. I got the bus running.
All right. He's cooking dinner tonight, ain't you?
No, it is going to be a pleasure. And really, really, we're going to promote your music here, whatever we can, because I listen to your band and watch your videos. And really, really, guys, okay, so I love your music. I love your new style that you're having. Okay, so, well, it is quality groovy, but as you're saying, okay, so I'm really interested in what you're going to bring us. So it's like, we really hope to see all this material, these songs soon.
Okay. If there's any promoters or anybody listening, don't be afraid to reach out. Yeah. We'll figure out a way to get from town, city to city to city, get down there and get and play all the way down there and play all the way back. Playing out is what we love to do. Yep. We love playing out live. If you're not playing out live and you can't play out live, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that, so somebody's going to watch this video, and I'm pretty sure that you're going to be coming to Mexico soon. So any last words that you would like to say to the people from Broken Neck Radio or RadioUTA.com?
Thank you to Broken Neck Radio for having us out here tonight.
Yes.
Thank you to Curtain Call Records for helping us and getting us on your label and helping us grow so much in the last year. Thank you to all the fans that follow us, that have come with us to all of our shows, that support us. Thank you to everybody who listens to our music that we haven't been able to go see yet and be out, play out live, but we'll be there soon.
We can't wait to meet you all.
Yes. Huge family.
Exactly. And I suppose that it is going to grow. Well, guys, so thank you very much. It was a pleasure. It has been a pleasure. We're going to be promoting your band. Okay, so well, we're really, really excited of having you here. Okay, so we're going to be tagging you in whatever you see. Okay, so we're going to be broadcasting this through YouTube, for example, like Spotify, like radio and everything, so that everybody can listen to your music, because really, to be honest, it's really, really awesome. Thank you very much. It was a really good pleasure. So, well, guys, so I'm going to be tagging you so that you can know when the shows are going to be broadcast, and so that you can watch the videos and everything. And the best of the success, really, because you're an awesome band.
Thank you so much.
We love you.
Thank you, guys. So, well, I'm going to stop it from here. Let me just...
Agradecemos por escuchar Al Buen Zenón en B&R Magazine Radio. De tantas estaciones, podcasts, etcétera, dijiste, vamos a escuchar Al Buen Zenón. Muchas gracias. Disfruta por las mejores estaciones ENR Magazine Radio. Con el buen Zenón, lo hacemos por y para ti. Estaciones, podcasts, etcétera, dijiste, vamos a escuchar al buen Zenón. Muchas gracias. Disfruta por las mejores estaciones, ENR Magazine Radio. Con el buen Zenón, lo hacemos por y para ti.
Acaricia todo el cuerpo y lo hace sangrar.